I want to consider with you this well-known and this beautiful parable of the Good Samaritan, which was spoken to a man who wanted to know about eternal life. He said there, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" He wanted to inherit eternal life, but he didn't know he was a sinner. In fact, it says he wanted to justify himself, verse 29. He, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus. That's what unconverted sinners are always doing. They're wanting to justify themselves. They don't want to feel as black as they really are. And this man didn't want to feel as black as he really was. He wanted to justify himself. He didn't want to be saved as a sinner. He wanted to do. He thought he was good enough just to do and work and get eternal life himself. And so he justified himself. And he said, more or less, "I'm not a great sinner." That's just more or less what he's saying. "I have my own strength to get right with God. What must I do? What must I do? I have my own strength. Just tell me what I have to do." So the lawyer didn't need a savior. He wanted to do, and the Lord just told him what he had to do. "Just keep all the law. That's all you have to do." He didn't need a savior. But this parable is designed to show us what great sinners we are. It's designed to show us that we need a savior. You see, none of us are the Good Samaritan. Be the Good Samaritan, and you'll be saved. None of us are the Good Samaritan. That's the truth of the matter. None of us. We don't love like the Good Samaritan loved. We don't do like the Good Samaritan did. We're not like the Good Samaritan in this story. We can't love like him, and we can't do like him, because we're sinners. That's the problem. We're not the Good Samaritan. Do you know who is the Good Samaritan? Jesus. Jesus is a Good Samaritan. That's what this story is about. Jesus is a Good Samaritan. He's the one. And so, in this story, if we're in this story, you know how we are in this story? We're the certain man who was going down from Jerusalem. That's us. That's you. That's the lawyer, really, only he didn't know it. We're the certain man going down from Jerusalem that we read about here in verse 30. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. That's you. That's me. That's a sinner. So let none of us think we're the Good Samaritan today. We're not. If you're in the story, you're the certain man who's going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. That's what we are. We're travellers. We're travellers from Jerusalem, and we're travellers going down to Jericho. That's what we are. We're sinners. And so this man was going down from Jerusalem. He was going from the place where the temple was. He was going from the place where God's presence was. What blessings were there in Jerusalem, in the temple, in the house of God? But he's going down. He's going down. The house of God is to his back. He's going down. He's not going up. He's going down. He's going away from it. He's going away from the presence of God. He's got his back to God. He's going down. That's us. Sinners. We've left God. We've left the Lord. And we're going down to Jericho. He's going down to the place of the curse. He's going down to the place of the burning. Jericho was burned. He's going down to Jericho. He's going down to the place of the wrath of God. That's where we're going as sinners. So we're the certain man who's leaving Jerusalem and going down to Jericho. That's a description of us as sinners. That's our course. As sinners, a downward course, further away from God. Sinners. And so people are trying to see themselves as a Good Samaritan in the text, but all the way they don't see themselves as a sinner, as the one going down. You remember our father Adam? This is really our father Adam's in the text. He was in Eden. He was in the presence of God. He enjoyed God. But he turned his back. He went down. He left God. He left the Lord and he went down. He left God's presence. He turned his back on God and he went down. He fell. The Bible says it's a fall. He went down. And he went down to the curse. That's what's wrong with this world. It's Jericho. This world is under the curse because our Father brought us down. He brought us down to Jericho, and we're under the curse. Our first parents were beguiled, you see. And the devil told Eve, if you turn your back on God, you'll go up. That's what he said, you'll go up. You'll be like gods, you'll go up. You'll go up to where God is. You'll go above God. But no, he's a liar. He's a liar. He went down. We went down. And that's why we're sinners. Because our Father brought us down. The devil was a liar. He's a liar from the beginning. It's a downward course ever since. And this is our journey as sinners. We're all on the road to Jericho. We're under the curse. We're unable to, as it were, we're unable to go upward to Jerusalem again. We're liable to all the miseries of this life. The kind of miseries this man fell into, that we're going to look at now in a wee minute. We're liable to all the miseries of this life because we're on the downward course, under the curse. And so this is your journey, sinner, if you'll own it and acknowledge it. This is your journey. It's a dangerous road. This man's going down a dangerous road. It's beset with all kinds of vagabonds and thieves and troublemakers. It's a road to destruction. It's a road beset with dangers. You remember how the Lord said, enter in at the straight gate? For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in there. Not this is where this man's going. He's going down the broad road. He's going down the road to destruction. There's many on it. He's going down it. And sinner, I have to remind you, you're on a dangerous road. If you've turned your back on God, if you're going away from the Lord, if the Lord's not in your life, if you're not enjoying God's presence, your course is a downward course. It's a course to destruction. It's a course of defying the Lord. And it's downward. This poor man was on a downward course. He went down. And he fell. The fall. There's a fall, you see. He fell. That's what happened to us sinners. We fell. We fell in our father Adam. Have you ever been conscious of that? Of your father's sin? And where it brought us. Do you know where you are as a sinner? That you've fallen. We've fallen. That's us all, as sinners, we've fallen. And this poor man fell among the thieves. They robbed him. That's what it says. He fell among thieves which stripped him. They robbed him. They left him naked. They stripped him of his raiment. They left him naked. They wounded him. They left him alone. They left him dying. It's a sad state, isn't it? Why does the Lord paint it so dramatically? Because it's a sinner. He paints it because it's a sinner. That's what happened to our first parents. The devil robbed them. Whenever they fell among thieves. The devil robbed them. He robbed them. Because he's a deceiver and a liar and a thief and a hater and a murderer. That's what the devil is. He acts like a thief, stripping us, wounding us, leaving us. That's what happened to our father Adam. He was robbed. He was robbed of God's image. He was made in the image of God. He was glorious. He was beautiful. But the devil come along and marred that image, beat him and wounded him. It was gone. The image of God was gone. The devil had robbed him of the image of God. It was gone. And then he had a righteousness. Yes, he was naked because he had an innocence and a tender conscience and a purity and a righteousness. But the devil come and robbed him of that. He sinned. And he was robbed of his righteousness. It was gone. And he knew he was naked. He knew he was left naked. The devil had come and he'd sinned. And now he knew he was naked. And he's trying to sew together the fig leaves. This is a spiritual consciousness of nakedness. He never had that before. But the devil robbed him of his purity. And he has this nakedness now. He stripped him. The devil stripped him. That's what the devil always does to sinners. Strips them. This is your condition by nature. That's why the Lord says to us, thy bruise is incurable. Thy wound is grievous. That's what God says to us sinners. Your wound's incurable. Your bruise is grievous. You've been beaten. What do we have to say? The sole of the foot. The sole of the foot unto the crown of the head. No soundness. We've been beaten and bruised and battered. No soundness. But wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They haven't been closed. They haven't been bound up. They haven't been mollified with ointment. That's the sinner. He's been wounded. He's been beaten. He's been bruised. The crown of his head and the sole of his feet. He's battered. That's what the devil does to us. That's what the devil will do to your children if they don't get saved. That's what he'll do to them. That's what they'll become if they don't get saved. This is what the devil does. This is what sin does. Do you see what happens when you turn your back on God? Do you see what happens when you leave Jerusalem? When you leave the Lord? Do you see what happens when you turn your back on the covenant? Do you see what happens? This is where sin takes you. This is what's wrong with humanity, you know. The philosopher doesn't know what's wrong with humanity. Ask the philosopher what's wrong with the human race. He doesn't know. Why all this suffering? Why all this battering? Why all this misery? Why do things like this happen? Famine, earthquakes, terrible tragedies, murder. What's wrong with the world? What has happened? It's sin. It's a fall. It's this downward course to Jericho. That's the problem. That's what's happened. The Bible explains it all. The Bible explains it all. We're sinners. Our Father brought us down. And we're in misery now. And so there's a thief. The devil. But you'll notice that there's not just the devil. There says it fell among thieves. There are plenty of thieves. Satan's the chief thief. Yes, he's the first thief in the Garden of Eden. We know that. He's the grand thief, as it were. He leads the band of thieves. But there are other thieves. Other thieves too. The sinner fell among thieves. The fall brought you among thieves, you see. And there are many thieves in your life. There's a thief of unbelief. You don't believe it when the preacher tells you you're a sinner. You don't believe it when the preacher tells you from God's word you're going to hell. You don't believe it. Because a thief of unbelief comes and steals it away. You fell among the thief of unbelief. And then some of you have the thief of the love of the world. You love the world. You don't want to give up your lies and your pleasures and your sins. You fall among the thieves of the world, the thief of pleasure, the thief of neglecting of the Sabbath day, the thief of neglecting the means of, I don't need the means of grace, I don't need the word of God, I don't need the preaching. You've fallen among thieves, and they've robbed you, stripped you. You do need it, you do need the preaching, you do need the house of God. It's the thieves that tell you you don't. It's the thieves that tell you you can stay at home and you can worship God in your home and you don't need the church and you don't need the Bible preaching and you don't need it rammed down your throat, so to speak. It's the thieves tell you that. You fall among thieves. It's the thief that tells you you don't need to repent. You don't need to forsake your sin. You don't need to confess it. It's the thief. You've fallen among thieves. There's a thief of the hardness of heart. Oh, you just go on down. Doesn't matter. You don't care. You're regardless. You're just living again. It's passing as swift as that. You don't care. You just go on just the same. The thief of the hardness of heart. There are plenty of thieves. It must not be missed that when these thieves had done their part, they departed. Do you see that? He fell among thieves, which stripped him, wounded him, and departed, leaving him. They departed and left him. That always happens. Sin will strip you, and then it leaves you. The devil will come and strip you with this promise and that promise, but he'll leave you. Sin and his pleasures are doing this work all the time. When they're finished, they'll leave you. They'll leave you. When your strength is gone and you're on your dying bed, they'll leave you. You'll not have them then. You'll not enjoy them then. You'll not have the same thrill then. Because they'll leave you. That which you've fallen among will leave you eventually. After it's stripped you. After it's wounded your conscience. After it's left you battered with a hardened heart. It will leave you. That sin that you give up Jesus Christ for. Or that person you give up Jesus Christ for. They'll leave you. They'll leave you at the last. Alone. On your own. That's what sin does. And you'll say, where's the pleasure now? Where's the fun now? Where are my worldly companions now? Where's the one I chose instead of Christ now? Where's that sin that I sacrificed my conscience for and I sacrificed the Savior for? Where's that sin now? It'll leave you. It'll not hold your hand then. No. It'll leave you. This young man in Scotland, he was converted. It was his sin in his younger days to drink. He drank a lot. But the Lord saved him. But his old friends come to his house. And they got in. And they started drinking. And they got him drunk. He fell among thieves. His friends. They were supposed to be friends. But they got him drunk. And you know what they did when they got him drunk? They brought him to the manse. And they left him outside the door of the manse. Drunk. They left him. That's what sin does. It'll expose you. It'll hang you out. It'll bring you shame. Bring you shame. And they'll leave you. They'll leave you at the end. He was never the same after that. You walk with God, that's true. But every time he prayed, he couldn't pray. He couldn't finish a prayer. Because he was broken. He was a broken man. Shame of sin. That's what sin does. That's what it does. It leaves you. It leaves you in the shame. It leaves you in the misery. It leaves you bruised and battered and bleeding. It leaves you. Leaves you at the last. This poor man's left half dead. It must say that. Practically for all purposes he's dead. Whenever these people go past, they think he's dead. He's half dead. He's helpless, you see. The sinner's helpless. The sinner has no strength. This lawyer, what can I do? What can I do? Do you not know, Lord, there's you there? You can't do anything. You have no strength. You have no strength. You're dead. You're dead in sin. You can't walk back up to Jerusalem again. You can't walk back into the presence of God. Look what sin has left you. That's what sin has done to you. You can't go back. You can't recover the ground. You're without strength. Can't even call for help. The life is draining out of him. The parable is sometimes used by the Arminians to suggest there's some spiritual life in the sinner. After all, he's only half dead. But the Bible says we're dead in sin. The nature of the parable describes him as half dead because, you see, there are no miracles in parables. This Good Samaritan's not going to do a miracle. No miracles happen in parables. They're true-to-life stories. And so he's, for all intents and purposes, he's dead. And the sinner is dead. Can't raise himself. Dead in sin. And so, while the Good Samaritan can't raise the dead, and in the story it has to be a half-dead man so that the story can be true to life, the real Good Samaritan can raise the dead. We have the state of this man. But there are some passers-by come. There are three in actual fact. Verse 31, by chance there came down a certain priest. The priest came. The priest. Oh, that's good. Maybe when the priest was coming down, maybe this man was able to open the eye and he could see the priestly garments and the priestly robes. And maybe his heart beat a wee bit of hope. The priest is coming. There's a bit of hope there. But he passes on. And then the Levite. He's one who praises God. He's one who praises God. And the Levite, he took a wee bit more attention because it says he was at the place and it says he came. So he went a wee bit near. He went a wee bit closer than the priest. But he wouldn't touch him. But he came a wee bit nearer and he looked on him. And maybe the wee man is half dead. Maybe he's just conscious enough to see that it's the Levite. He's come a wee bit near. And there's hope now. He's a wee bit of faith in the Levite. Just like he had a wee bit of faith in the priest. But he passed by. He passed by. And so I can see the poor man as his eyelids lifting up. God's ministers, they will help. They will help. But they don't help. Do not these men picture the law of God? The law of God. Embodied in the priest and in the Levite. The ceremonial law. The priestly law. The moral law. All embodied in them. What must I do? The man's thinking of the law to get eternal life. Well here's the priest and the Levite coming. The custodians of the law, they're coming. And they passed by. They can't do anything for the man and they won't do anything for the man. The law cannot redeem sinners. The law cannot raise up the dead. The law cannot bind the wounds. The law passes by and lets the curse continue. The law is good. And honourable and glorifying to God, but for us sinners, it can do nothing. And so this poor sinner reached out to the law, but it did not happen. Ah, poor sinner, don't look to the law. What can it do? Don't look to man. From whence do you expect your recovery to come? The law will not save you. It will not cover your nakedness. It will not bind up your wounds. It won't bring salve to your conscience. Not the law. Ah, but there is one. Only one. He's called here a certain Samaritan. Here's one on a journey. Verse 32 it says. Verse 33. A certain Samaritan as he journeyed. Ah, I like that. The good Samaritan's on a journey. The Levite and the priest, by chance it says, he came on the place. But the Good Samaritan's on a journey. Because the Good Samaritan's always on a journey. Jesus Christ is one on a journey. On a journey for us sinners. He's on a journey. A journey to find us. A journey to come upon us. And so this Good Samaritan does not come by chance. Bethlehem wasn't chance. The incarnation wasn't chance. Jesus of Nazareth wasn't chance. He's on a journey. I came from my Father, he said. I came from my Father and I'm come down to the earth. I'm on a journey. I came from my Father. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came. He came into the world to save sinners. He's the one on a journey.
Our Jesus is a journey one for us. He came upon us and he was on a journey for us.
And he comes very near. It says as he journeyed, he came. He came where he was. He came so near. He came nearer than the Levite. He came nearer than the priest. He came near. He's made flesh. He's made flesh and dwelt among us.
He came so near.
He's Emmanuel, God with us. He came near. He's with us.
He came near. Bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, and ties of blood, the sinner's one. How near he came. And what is it? A Samaritan. He's a Samaritan. What was a Samaritan to the Jews? Despised. Despised and rejected of men. That's what the Samaritan was to the Jews. The Samaritan was the offscouring. The Samaritan was the outcast. Jesus is despised and rejected of men. He's a Samaritan to them. In fact, you know what the Jews said about Jesus? This is awful, but it's in the Bible and we can say it. They said, "Say we not well?" Oh, imagine saying that. Is this not good? Is this not right? "Say we not well? Thou art a Samaritan and hast no devil." That's what they said about the lovely Lord Jesus. They said the lovely Lord Jesus is a Samaritan. And he had a devil. Oh, blasphemy. Blasphemy. You would never say that about the Lord Jesus, children, so you wouldn't. But that's where the devil will take you. When you grow up in life, if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus, he'll take you to say things like that. Oh, never say that.
But he's like a Samaritan to them. And he's despised. Jesus is despised. Don't despise Jesus. Jesus is despised and rejected of men. He's a certain Samaritan. And the Jews didn't expect much from Jesus. They expected it all to come from the law. But Jesus is despised. He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. This poor sinner, battered and half dead, has probably given up hope by now. And he sees the Samaritan coming in the corner. If he's able to open the corner of his eyes, he sees the Samaritan coming because he had the dress of the Samaritan. And he probably just, his heart just stopped. I've no faith in the Samaritan. A Samaritan will never help me. If the Levite and the priest went on, I'm not going to get much from the Samaritan. He'll pass on too. And his heart stopped and he just closed his eyes again and he gave up all hope. He gave up all hope, you know, when the Samaritan came to you. The poor sinner didn't expect much from the one dressed as a Samaritan. Ah, but he stopped. Jesus is the one who can save you. The despised Galilean is the one who can save you. He's on a journey for you. He came into the world for you. For you. He's the one who can save you. Will you not look to him? Will you not cry out? He's passing your way. He's passing your way. You're bruised and battered in sin. He's passing your way. Let the priest and the Levite go on. But Jesus is passing your way. Will you not cry out to him? Will you not reach out to Jesus? Here he's coming. He's coming. He's coming in the gospel. He's coming in the word this morning. Let faith arise and believe in him. Say to him, "Mercy, mercy, mercy for me, poor, ruined sinner." And now we read, he had compassion on him. Here we have the story of how the despised Galilean saved sinners. We haven't time to go into the story. It's graphic. It's beautiful. But it begins with this. He had compassion. Do you not see that, son? Do you not feel it? I want you to know Jesus has compassion. He is tender and compassionate. Oh, maybe you feel the ministers. Such a disappointment. He's a minister with no compassion. He is. I own it. I dishonor myself to glorify him. He has compassion. Jesus has a compassion. Don't look to a minister. Jesus has a compassionate one. Look to him. He had compassion on him. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. He saw him. He saw him. Jesus didn't pass by. He saw him and had compassion over him. He beheld the city. He saw it. And he wept over it, full of compassion. You can trust him for deliverance. You can trust him for salvation. You'll not be disappointed. If I rightly read thy heart, if thou all compassion art, bow thine ear in mercy bow. Pardon and accept me now. Yes, he is compassion. And he will receive you, poor ruined sinner. As I said, I haven't time to look at every stroke of the powerful painting that follows. The time is gone. But this is the one you need to come unto you. And I tell you, when he comes unto you, when he comes unto you, he will bind up your wounds. And he'll pour in the oil. His comforting, soothing Holy Spirit. He'll pour in the oil. And the wine. Yes, the red wine. The Lord's Supper wine. The blood. He'll pour it in. He'll pour it in. He'll set you on his own beast. He has a beast. A very precious beast he is too. The gift of faith. He sets us on his own beast. He gives us faith. To carry us. It carries us. He cares for us. He brings us to an end. He brings us into the church. Into the inn. And he leaves all he needs to the innkeeper. You look after him, innkeeper. You feed him. You bring him the word. You preach the word to him. I give you a charge, innkeeper, that you keep this sheep and you feed him and you care for him. I give you a charge and I give you all the gifts to see that you can keep that charge. And you care for him. And the church is here. And the preaching is here to get you up. And he says to the innkeeper, if there's more to owe you, whenever I come back again, I'll give you it. I'll reward you, preacher. I'll reward you, innkeeper. If you go beyond your bounds, if it takes more than what I give you, if you put your all into it and there's more, I'll reward you when I come back again. He's coming back again. The one who brought us into the church to be cared for by the innkeeper is coming back again, and he's going to inspect the innkeeper, and he's going to inspect the sinner. He's coming back. Oh, it's a wonderful story. This is Jesus Christ. Precious Jesus Christ.